I want to thank Dave Hill. He's saved me a bit of time tonight. He's actually went and mentioned one of my points that I wanted to share. just seems appropriate for any, you know, Andy started me off last week and Dave Hill started me a running start this week. So it's really cool actually, because it's one of those things that when I got told about to speak about Matthew, I kind of thought, okay, I looked through the book and tried to find all the mentions of Matthew, and there's only 5 verses, and I just thought, oh no, how am I going to talk on 5 verses? So I was looking before, and I was looking at sort of what come before and what had come after sort of these 5 verses, and I got the impression that what the writer of the book was trying, or the book of Matthew, or specifically the book of Matthew, was trying to show us was just something that's so simple and easy to overlook, but it's really important for us to remember this. So, what came before was verses 1-8, it says, Jesus climbed into a boat and went back across the lake to his own town. Some people brought to him a paralyzed man on a mat. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Be encouraged, my child, your sins are forgiven." And then it goes on, and the Pharisees sort of get really angry, and they're just like, "Who is this man?" And Jesus, basically, the thing is, Jesus heals this man. No surprise there; he's done it before. This is what Jesus does. This is what he's here to do. So this was what became before, and then afterwards, as Dave was saying, he healed a woman without even trying. He healed this woman just by touching. This woman just touched his cloak and she was healed. And then he healed another man. He healed this daughter for this chap. And again, it was just this thing. They didn't believe him. He was just like, no, she's just sleeping. So before and after, Jesus is doing all this big stuff, and we read these passages and we just think, wow, you know, how can we match what Jesus is doing? And in between we have Matthew 9 verses 9-13, and basically this is just a reminder of how simple it's to be. Yeah, the big things are going to happen, and we've not to be intimidated by it all. You know, we're not all going to be these people that are going to be walking around, somebody's going to touch your cloak and folk are going to be healed. That would be awesome. But it's not sort of something that's going to happen in everyday life. But I'm not going to say don't put your faith on it. You totally can do that through God. But it's not going to be one of your everyday occurrences. If it is, I want to know, because I just think that'd be awesome. But this is the thing. It's not going to be, everybody's life isn't going to be this sort of before and the after. Our lives are probably going to be a lot more simple than that. And this was what I took from this. These 5 verses have just been amazing for me to... I've been panicking about this. I've been preparing for this since before Christmas. So when Andy started talking on Matthew last week, I was just like, no! but the thing was, is just the inspiration that this has been to me, just these 5 verses, just has put my whole sort of concept on being a Christian to a much more simpler, a simpler viewpoint. I just sort of taken it right back, forgetting about the, you know, going out and sort of trying to be something amazing, you know, which if God wants me to be that, then I'll be that. But just to not feel under pressure to just do these big things, but to keep it simple. So through Matthew, what I've seen is just an amazing role model. In this apostle, he's not like the rest of them. You know, they don't talk about sort of like the ones that you all read about and everybody talks about, where they're off hanging out with Jesus and they're seeing big things. Matthew only has 5 verses, and I feel that Matthew's the man that I want to be my role model, and I'm going to remember for the rest of my life because of this. So I've broken it down into 3 simple little steps that we can follow and remember and not feel under pressure to do anything more than just these simple things. And what I'm saying is, it's going to be simple. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be simple. So the first one is in Matthew 9, and it's just to follow. We know the verse. Jesus is walking along. He sees this man. He's a tax collector. And he says to him, "Come with me." And Matthew goes, okay, and just follows. It's as simple as that. You know, it made me think about my testimony. It's one of those things that, you know, when you go anywhere and somebody's given their testimony, they normally have quite a good story. Or, you know, when I've seen it, it's one thing I remember when I was sort of younger in the church. Everybody that stood up would have these fantastic background stories and how God moved in their lives. And everybody was like, wow. And all these people started coming to faith and all this sort of stuff. Whereas for me, I was just kind of like, you know, I was asked to share my testimony one day and I was like, well, I don't want to do it. Because it wasn't this story that was amazing and sounds fantastic. I've been a Christian all my life. But reading this, it made me think about my testimony and how the fact that my simple testimony actually is quite important. And my testimony is when I was 12, I was sitting in my dad's car one day. We'd been out over in the foothills, the Ockles, because that's where our church was in Alloa. And we would always go to like Alva Park or something like that, and they would have like these days on. And tracts, you know, I don't know if you know what tracts are, I don't know if they're used anymore, but they were just these mad things that had like big burning things, or like, are you going to hell? And it was just, or like a comic book strip or something of like how to become a Christian on how God works. And they were just really sort of these mad wee ways to try and get folk talking, but we would always hand them out. And I was sitting reading one in my dad's car, and it was just this wee comic strip, and I can't remember what it says, and I don't know what it was about. I just remember it was this little comic strip, and I was reading it, and it must have been the whole, you know, are you going to hell? And I was like, yeah, I don't want to do that. And I sat quietly in the car that day, and I was just like, God, just please take control of my life. I want to be yours. And I think for now, that simple testimony that I was always just like, nah, no one wants to hear that, is actually, you know, amazing, because it was just that quiet day, like Matthew, that I heard God going to me, come on and follow me. And I was like, cool. And I'd done that because I don't want to go to hell. I want to spend the rest of my life with God. So that's the thing. It's just this quiet. What you need to look for is just those quiet times that God speaks to us. And it's going to happen over and over again. You know, it's not just something that you can go along and check a box. You know, God's going to continually ask you to follow. And we need to listen for those quiet times and just not look for sort of like the big events that are going to, you know, always sort of make us feel so excited, but just look for the quiet times when God wants to speak to us and just continually say yes and follow him, because that's how simple it is. We just need to say yes and get up and follow. So for me, that was really, really important to understand, and just the first step of this was just so simple, and it made me feel better about my testimony and to share it with people. So, you know, don't feel that if you don't have this great big story that it's not important. It is, and it's those quiet times. And if you can say that you keep identifying those quiet times that God speaks to you, then you're really doing well. So the second point that I got was to make introductions. Sorry. And in verse 10, it says that Matthew had invited Jesus and his disciples home and made them dinner. And there was like a whole bunch of people there, and they were all hanging out having sort of dinner. And it's just, that was the other thing that got me, was just, again, how simple this was. It's just, people panic when, you know, you say that you've got to talk about God, and it's just like, well, I can't do that. You know, Matthew introduced his friends to Jesus in such a simple way by just inviting them all around for a meal. Now, you may not be able to cook, but you can invite people around and order pizza, you know, coffee, whatever, and have everybody around for a meal. The easiest thing to do to talk to people about Jesus and spark up conversations is like what Dave's been saying again, is just go out for coffee. You know, it's one. Eventually, God's going to come into your conversation. It's who you are. It's not going to be something that can eventually be put off. We were out with some friends just before Christmas, and most of them I've known maybe about 3 years now since we moved to Edinburgh. But we were all out. We were just hanging out in the pub, having a couple of pints. A friend of ours had come up from Bristol, and she hadn't seen anybody for a while. So we were just hanging out, and we're all in our sort of in our 30s, and some of them are freaking out about it, and some of them are just like, oh, we're getting so old. And some of us, like me, I don't care, you know, I still feel like I'm, you know, 19, and it's obvious by my haircut and stuff. But the thing is, like, we were just sitting hanging out, and because we were talking about sort of our ages and that, I sort of I was sitting there and I was like, oh yeah, you know, we're singing these songs at band practice or before when we're practicing for band on a Sunday evening. And, you know, we're making laughs that there's some of them that are old, so old that, you know, that like I knew them when they first came out. And one of my mates was just like, hang on a second, you go to church? And I was like, well, yeah. And the rest, he sort of looked at everybody else in the group as if to say, did you know this? And my friends, and it was really funny because two of my friends were just like, well, yeah, we've known for ages. She sits and talks about it all the time. And so like my two friends, my friend Mary and my mate Stephen, both were just like, yeah, that's Nikki. She goes to church. We've all known about this. We talk about it all the time when we're hanging out. And I was just like, okay. So my mate Scoot just couldn't get past and he was just like, and you're in a band. And hang on. What's going on here? And the funny thing is, because like we're all sort of, well, we're not all punks, but it was a squad of punks, so they just don't expect you to be sitting there and being like, yeah, I sing in a band in church, thanks. So that was the thing, and it's so easy because like we've all met up and hung out for ages, and I've spoken to two of the people within that group. There was, apart from me and Nick, there were seven of us, so there's like five folk there that weren't Christians. Two of them have already had massive discussions about church and God and all this sort of stuff. And I think the rest of them do know, but obviously Scoot had never heard anything. And he was just like, hang on. But that's the thing. So it's like now he knows and it'll probably come up in conversation again. We didn't make a big thing about it because it wasn't what we were talking about. And I didn't want to sort of get totally sidetracked on it. And all this sort of stuff, but it was so easy just hanging out. We were having food, a couple of drinks, and we were just relaxed, and it was the easiest way. I didn't feel under pressure, and it was something so simple, just hanging out and having food to start talking about God. When I was at university, my life revolved around food. It was the way that I got welcomed into the church. It was the way that sort of Eck, he doesn't mind me explaining or sharing this because I've already cleared it with him, but he wasn't a Christian at the time. And my flatmate sort of really helped introduce him to sort of being a guy, being a Christian in church, and it not being something that's like crazy sort of American TV evangelist thing, because that was the only experience he had before. But because we just hung out, my mate Stan was able to show Eck sort of like a realistic way of being a Christian, and that was a huge impact for him becoming a Christian. So food's an amazing way, and it doesn't have to be something that you need to be scared of, being like, oh, I can't talk about God, and I'm not an evangelist, and it's such an easy way and a natural way for us to share the gospel with everyone. So then the third point is to have a simple message. And in Matthew 9:13, he goes, go and figure out what this scripture means. I'm after mercy, not religion. I'm here to invite outsiders, not coddle insiders. And the scripture that he's talking about is Hosea 6:6. And I've put two versions in it, one from the Message and one for the NIV, just because while I was looking at them, I felt that they sort of both, the two different ways that they were written out, explained the verse a lot easier. And basically, it's what God is saying here is, I'm after love that lasts, not more religion. I want you to know God, not to go to more prayer meetings. So the thing is what God wants us to know and God to tell is that he wants love to us to show love and mercy and to know him. As easy as that. How's that for a great message to have? All we have to do is to show people love and mercy. Okay, yeah, that's quite easy. So it's just a case of knowing God. We're doing that. We're here tonight to know God more. We hang out with other Christians to know God more. We go to Bible studies to know God more. But the thing is as well is it's not just about being another number in church or another body at a prayer meeting. It's to know God more. It's the desire to know him, to really just have him sort of oozing out your pores because you're just so wrapped up in God. And that's the thing, it's to have that knowledge of him, like you would your best friend, your husband, your wife, you know, that sort of thing. It's just to know God so well and just to show love and mercy. How easy a message is that? It's not even like you're having to sit there and tell someone, you know, the whole story of the Bible. All you need to do is show love and mercy, and by knowing God, people are going to see God in you. and that's your three steps to being a Christian. That's why I'm saying it's simple, but it's maybe not always going to be easy. You'll go over these all the time, these checklists, but it was something that was just so amazing to me that I got out of these five verses while Jesus is off healing people and doing this and doing that. And you can sort of get overwhelmed with it, that Matthew's story allows us to see these three points on what we can do to show other people how much God loves them. But the thing is not to get sort of, you may sort of be sitting thinking, well, yeah, you're saying it's easy, but it's not always that easy. And the thing was, is in the neck in verses 11 and 12, Jesus actually gives us encouragement. And in these verses, the Pharisees are standing and they're shouting at, saying, why are you with these crooks and riffraff? And, come on, this is just not right. And Jesus says, who needs a doctor, the healthy or the sick? So Jesus is saying that he came for us. And this was the bit that really, I kind of got hung up on this bit for a bit. Because in the New Living Translation, it actually says, why are you sitting here with a scum? And I couldn't get past, the fact that the Pharisees were calling these people scum, because out of this, I related to the fact that I would have been one of Matthew's friends if I was there at the time sitting, and I would have been classed as scum. And I was just like, wow, these guys really just don't think that highly of us. They don't think highly of the people that were hanging out with Jesus, but I would have wanted to have been one of the folk hanging out with Jesus and Matthew. I'm scum, wow, that's just, and I couldn't get past it. So one night we were at a house group and we were to share verses that had been sort of like on our mind. And I shared this one, but one of the other girls, Julie, shared Psalm 40, and she was saying specifically the end of it. And it really just knocked me for six, because it says, as for me, since I'm poor and needy, let the Lord keep me in his thoughts. You are my helper and my saviour. Oh my God, do not delay. And I put the message one, the message version in there as well, just because at the start it says, and me, I'm a mess. I'm nothing and have nothing. And it was just the fact that that it was such it was what I needed to hear. It wasn't that because I was reading this, I was thinking I was scum or riffraff, but it was just that the encouragement that Jesus gave is that he came to save the sick and the needy, the people that needed him most, not sort of go and hang out with the Pharisees who were the holier-than-thou super spiritual Christians. No. He came to come and hang out with us. And that's what Psalm 40, verse 17, really made me think about, was the fact that, God's got me in his thoughts. He's thinking about me all the time. And he's wanting to do something with me. And that really just, it's what I was needing to hear just to kind of get past this, because I could get so hung up on verses 11 and 12, and I did, and it really, I don't know what it was that I couldn't get past these verses, but just listening to, reading these verses from Psalm 17 really got me thinking about the importance of encouraging each other, and just how it's something that we all need, and we probably don't do to each other enough. When you're standing talking to someone, you'll probably give them the, hi, how you doing? Oh, you had a good week? Yeah, that's cool. And then off you go. The importance of encouraging each other and just sort of, if you are out having a coffee with somebody or having that meal, being able to sit, and especially your Christian friends, just being like, wow, man, God totally loves you. It sounds a bit much when you're having coffee with someone, but it's just, we need to be encouraging each other. We need to be sitting there and reminding each other how much God loves us and how much he wants to do with our lives. So I want you to finish just by encouraging you with a couple of verses that I find just sort of, they're my go-to verses if I ever need encouragement. And the first one is Jeremiah 29 verse 13, and it says, yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. This is God's decree. God is saying he's not going to be disappoint me when I go and find him. That's exciting, just to hear that God won't disappoint me. And then the other one is Psalm 18, verse 1 to 3. But it's generally verse 1 that I always read. And it's, I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my saviour. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. I called on the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies. That first verse has become my prayer. It was a few years ago, and it just was something I was reading through, and I just loved the fact that I'd never thought about saying to God, I love you, Lord. You know, I don't know if it makes any sense at all, but just saying to God, you know, I love you. So every time I start praying now, I'm just like, I love you, Lord. You are my strength. You know, so it's just something that really encourages me so much just to think that, you know, God's my strength. He was not going to disappoint me. And he knows I'm a mess. And he thinks about me all the time. And he just loves me. How encouraging is that? That's why God sent his son and it's Jesus that came for me to hang out and have a meal with these people with Matthew. And I wanted to be in that group. I can't say any more than that, you know. So these are my verses just to encourage you. So what I want you to do, just as a sort of finishing up, I've left post-it notes and pens at the end of the pews, probably like down this aisle here. And I wanted you to write your favourite verse down. If you don't have one, feel free to take one of mine. And then once you've written down the verse, is to pass it to the person next to you and let that be their encouragement. And since it's a post-it note, what I normally do is if I get a verse, I'll post it on my mirror so that I'm always reading it in the morning. So as if you could just write down your favourite verse and give it to the person next to you. Or as I say, just use one of those ones and give it to that person and just let that be your prayer for the next week.